This triptych and The Outcast are paintings of fallen women, a huge theme in Victorian arts. Poetry and literature explored it the most, but the fine arts did as well. With a massive number of prostitutes and questionably careered women in London, it is not strange that there would have been an interest in the fallen woman. There were lots. Which is an interesting thing, because England at this time was in the middle of a moral revolution of sorts. You'll see with the works of William Holman Hunt, the morality was a big deal in Victorian England. But it wasn't like the neoclassical French cult morality, which was all about the many over the few and the single sacrifice for the greater good, etc. That was a very Roman Catholic collective approach. The English moral revolution was very much in the domain of the individual for the sake of the individual, although society would benefit, and the reason for morality wasn't the betterment of the many, but the saving of the one, which was a very Protestant, individualistic approach. With these moralizing reminders everywhere, and the real threat of destitution behind every mistake, women were very conscious of the very real need to find a husband. One of the ways to win a husband was with beauty and grace, and this needed to happen very early in the coming out of a young woman. Coming out. The phrase meant something different back then. Girls too young for courtship were referred to as in the schoolroom. To come out to society meant to enter the marriage market. Often these girls were presented to the Queen at St. James, the Victorian equivalent of a senior prom spotlight dance. The girls had to make the most of their first season. After two or three failed seasons, no engagement, they could be considered an old maid. This is also where the saying, three times a bridesmaid, never a bride, has some of its roots. You know, apart from the medieval superstition that bridesmaids absorb the demons and bad luck from the happy couple. If a bridesmaid had been in a wedding three times, which would probably mean three wedding seasons, spring and summer, dressed in her best and still hadn't caught the eye of any bachelors, she was doomed to be an old maid. To provide for herself, becoming a schoolteacher or a governess was a suitable occupation for an old maid of middle-class education and social standing. In a society that values looks as an indicator of goodness, it makes sense that cosmetics were taboo. In other eras, makeup would have been the way to perfect one's looks to meet the criteria of society, but proper English women didn't wear makeup. Or makeup that showed, anyways. It was felt that wearing makeup or overly structured undergarments was akin to lying about who and what you were. According to the beauty standards of the time, the ideal complexion was called the Lillian Rose, white, translucent skin with pale rose tint fading in the cheeks. To achieve this coveted complexion, many homemade beauty treatments and questionable tinctures were used frequently, and beauty ads definitely targeted the fear of old maiddom, with ads that stated, "How frequently we find that slight blemish on the face, otherwise divinely beautiful, has occasioned a sad and solitary life of celibacy, unloved, unblessed, and ultimately unwept and unremembered." Basically, those who didn't have the most naturally derived good looks were destined to die forever alone. Every culture has ideals of beauty that change from time to time, like France's over-the-top Rococo fashions. Anyone with enough money, headgear, and makeup could be beautiful in Rococo France. This was so well known, even during the Rococo period, that many jokes were made about French women as disguisers and dissemblers. So 60 years later, in England, it was almost impossible to scam the system. Bone structure, hair color, and body shape were tantamount, and faking it, with the exception of minor to moderate body modifications with foundational wear, was a sign of deep character flaws and scandal. Entire books existed as to explain what was and was not beautiful, the laws of beauty. Alexander Walker's book, Beauty, illustrated chiefly by an analysis and classification of beauty in women, did its best to present itself as a scientific manual regarding the most important aspects of female beauty. But keep in mind that all these rules and laws of good looks were deeply supported by the cultural belief that can be summed up with a simple equation. Beautiful equals good. Ugly equals evil. Which is why faking it with makeup or overly structured clothing was considered scandalous and the same as lying and cheating. Because how you looked conveyed everything about you, and to lie about how you looked was lying about who you were. Facial bone structure was considered of the most importance. A strong chin, or a thin and long face, or pronounced eyebrow line could undo a woman's marriage chances. Or so they said. Because were ugly women finding love and getting married in Victorian society? For sure. For all the so-called science in their approach, the science of beauty frequently forgot the subjective nature of attraction. Chins were especially considered markers of daily character. Walker stated in his book, "Of the chin, it should be observed that it is a distinctive character of the human species, and is not found in any other animal. When well formed, it is full, united, and generally without a dimple. It passes gently almost insensibly into the neighboring parts. In women especially, the chin ought to be finely rounded, for when projecting, it expresses, owing to its connection with muscular action and power, a firmness and a determination which we do not wish to discover in her character. In women, the countenance is more rounded, as well as more abundantly furnished with that cellular and fatty tissue which fills all the chasms, effaces all the angles, and unites all the parts by the gentlest transitions. At the same time, the muscles are feebler, more mobile, resigned for a shorter time to the same contraction, and as inconstant as the emotions and passions which their rapid play expresses. So basically, the beautiful woman was inconstant, emotional, and not one to jut out her chin in defiance too frequently.